We open the Holy Scriptures to Psalm 119. We begin our reading at verse 49, and we will read through verse 72. The text we consider is verse 54. Let us hear the word of God beginning at Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Here we end our reading of the Holy Scriptures. I call your attention to verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Beloved congregation, we ended the old year in this house of prayer, meditating upon the beautiful and comforting words of Jesus Christ to his afflicted church. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. We saw that all of time and history serves him. He is Lord. He is Almighty. He works all things for the good of his people, works all things for his coming. Now, as we have crossed the threshold into a new year, with that wonderful truth still comforting our hearts and impressed upon our minds, our Lord Jesus calls us to live unto him in this new year. Just as everything in the year 2021 serves him, he is the Alpha and the Omega of 2021, so too he is the Alpha and the Omega of 2022. He is the Alpha and the Omega of our life in 2022. We're going to think for a short while this morning on an important dimension of our life as Christians. As Christians, we are called to live unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who has purchased us with his precious blood, who has made us his possession. We are not our own. We belong to him, body and soul. Our life is not our own, but belongs to him. And therefore, we live no longer unto self, but unto him. Part of that, then, is that we are pilgrims. Our home is not here. Our home is with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And as God's redeemed and saved people, He has marked out for us the omega of our earthly life. The ending of our earthly life is the entrance into glory, the entrance into the Father's house, the entrance into the fullness of our salvation, which has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. And now, each year that we are given in this world, we are to live with that end in mind, fix the eyes of our faith on that end, and walk toward that end. Run the race marked out for us, pilgrims and strangers in this world. And that's what this brief text in Psalm 119 sets before us. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The psalmist describes his life as a pilgrimage. And he also describes that which God has given him to help him in that pilgrimage, to encourage him, to lead him, and to guide him. His statutes. And as we go forward in 2022, another year of pilgrimage. May these words be ours. God's statutes are the songs that we sing, our songs in the house of our pilgrimage. Let's look at this text then under the theme, singing in the house of our pilgrimage. Singing in the house of our pilgrimage. We notice first the house of our pilgrimage, looking at what that is. And then secondly, the songs that we sing in this house, and then finally, the hope that spurs us on. The psalmist speaks of the house of my pilgrimage. And so we must ask and answer the question, what is he talking about? What is the house of my pilgrimage? The house of pilgrimage is a rich figure. It is a rich figure for the believer's entire course of life in this world. Earthly life is lived in a house. The house of this world, the house of this creation. You read the opening chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, and you see what a beautiful house God has furnished for man. It is life lived in this body. In fact, the closest parallel to the expression that we have in our text, house of my pilgrimage, is an expression we find in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, which speaks of the earthly house of this tabernacle, talking about our life here in this world, our life in the body. The house of our pilgrimage is life in this world. And the house in which we live right now is an old house. It's falling apart. It's subject to corruption due to the fall of man into sin. It's a house in which there's much misery, there's much hardship, there's much weariness, there's toil and struggle, there's sorrow. That is this house. Now the psalmist calls it a house of pilgrimage, and the sense of that expression is it's the house in which we pilgrimage. Think of Jesus' expression, referring to the temple, the Father's house of prayer, that is the house in which prayer is made. The house of our pilgrimage is the house in which we pilgrimage. It refers to this whole life and points out to us the character of earthly life, pilgrimage. So what is pilgrimage? What does it mean that you and I are pilgrims in this earthly life, in this world? Well, a pilgrim is a traveler who is on a journey. And this traveler is on a journey through a strange and foreign land where he doesn't belong. He's traveling through a foreign land on his way home to the place where he really belongs. That's a pilgrim. So a pilgrim is not a permanent resident in the place where he currently is. He doesn't abide there. His home isn't there. He's a traveler. And while he may stop for a short while to refresh himself, it's only at the inn beside the road or in a tent that he sets up. He has no permanent abiding place. A pilgrim is not a permanent resident, nor is a pilgrim homeless. Though the pilgrim does not have a permanent abiding place in the land where he currently is, he does have a home. And he's heading home. His heart is set on home. And he's striving to reach home. That means then that the pilgrim is also not a wanderer. A pilgrim is not one who goes about aimlessly, without direction, without purpose. He's not a vagabond, but he has a destination in mind, home. And he's on his way home. And everything, his energy, his resources, everything is devoted to getting home. That's a pilgrim, a traveler on a journey through a foreign land, homeward to his true home where he belongs, where his heart is. The psalmist says, "Thy statutes have been the songs, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." And in that, he makes a confession. He makes a confession about himself and about the character of his life. He confesses, "I am a pilgrim and a stranger in this world." This world is the house of pilgrimage. This earthly life and all that belongs to it is pilgrimage. "This world is not my home, but my home to which I am going is a better country." This is the psalmist's personal confession. We find him making this confession earlier in Psalm 119. If we flip a page or two back to verse 19, the psalmist says, "I am a stranger in the earth." And stranger is the same idea as pilgrim. Psalmist is using language that harkens back to the words of David in Psalm 39, verse 12. "I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were." There David refers to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which Hebrews 11 verses 9 through 13 tells us were strangers and pilgrims in the land of promise. They lived in tents. Though God had promised them the whole land of Canaan, they did not possess it. They lived as pilgrims and strangers in the promised land. That's the child of God, pilgrim and a stranger in the world. God taught his Old Testament people this even after they inherited the land of Canaan. Leviticus 25, verse 23, God says to his Old Testament church that they are pilgrims with him. "The land is mine," he says, "for ye are strangers and sojourners with me." Even in the Old Testament, God's church understood by faith that even that land of Canaan, which was promised to them, that was not their ultimate home, but pictured the heavenly Canaan, the better country. Jerusalem, as glorious a city as it was a picture of the city which hath foundations. Its builder and maker is God, the eternal home of God's people. That's what the psalmist confesses here. "My life is pilgrimage." Pilgrimage. And the psalmist's confession is our personal confession as well. We are pilgrims. That's how we must view our life. That's how we must view this world and everything in it. That's what we must confess today as we cross the threshold of 2022. "I am a pilgrim and a stranger here." And that confession now is going to shape the entire life that I live this year. It's going to determine what my priorities are. It's going to determine what I set my heart on. It's going to determine the activities in which I engage. It's going to determine everything. I am a pilgrim and a stranger here. Confess this. That means we confess, we believe, this world is not home. Yes, God has put us in the house of this world. This world is a house. And for a time, we are called to live here. We are given stations. We are given callings. We are given things to do here. The text is not calling us to live in some monastery in mystic contemplation, withdrawn from everything earthly. No, we are called right now to pilgrimage in this house, but always bearing in mind, this house is not home. we're passing through this house, homeward, to heaven, ultimately to the heavenly Canaan, the new creation that will be ushered in by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must not treat this world and the things of this life as that which has ultimate value. We do not live for things here below. We do not become so engrossed in the treasures and the pleasures of this world such that they become the most important thing, but we seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. We seek first God and all that belongs to God and what is pleasing to God. We look towards the house of God. That is the omega toward which we walk and for which we strive in 2022. We must not make this world our home, but keep in mind that we are pilgrims journeying home. That means we need to live as strangers here. We're out of place spiritually in this world. Though we live in this house, we are no longer a part of the old family of Adam that inhabits this house. We are born again from above. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are no longer children of the darkness, children of the night, but children of the light, children of God, covered in the blood of Christ, adopted into His covenant family. We are new creatures in Christ. And so though we live in this old house, and we live in and among the old family of Adam, fallen humanity, and though we live right next door to the kingdom of darkness. Our conversation is in heaven. We're different. And therefore we must live differently. We shouldn't fit in spiritually. We are pilgrims. We have different customs than the world. Our life is marked by faith. Our life ought to be marked by worship and service of God and of His Christ. We're strangers here that don't fit in spiritually. We're children of the Father. We speak the Father's language. As pilgrims and strangers, we should stick out because the language we speak is different than the language that is used by the people among whom we live. By that, not only is meant that our conversation should be pure, godly, and God-glorifying, and that the profanity and the vanity that so often characterizes the conversation of the world, that should be kept from us. Yes, of course. But our speech should be the speech of God, our Father, the speech of truth and grace. Kingdom of the world, the old family of Adam, fallen humanity, their language is the language of their father, the devil, who is the father of the lie, the hater of truth, the hater of grace. And you look at the language of the world, the speech that characterizes the world, hatred, falsehood, lies. But a pilgrim is God's people. They're speakers of truth. Words seasoned with grace. Our language is different. Our customs are different. Our values and priorities are different. The children of this world are obsessed with the things of this world. They live for the things of this world. They seek their pleasure, their security in the things of this world, accumulating them so that they can say, soul, thou hast much laid up in store. Take thy ease this year. As pilgrims, our focus is on things spiritual. Our affections are on heavenly things, things above. Our treasures are not the things that thieves can take or that moth and rust can destroy, but are the treasures of grace, the treasures of salvation stored up for us in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be a spiritually minded people whose priority is God's kingdom, God's house, and heading home. That's our confession. We are pilgrims. That's how we are to live. looking homeward, walking by faith, not by sight. But now, the text tells us something very interesting and beautiful about us as we live in the house of our pilgrimage. The text says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." In this house, we sing. The text sets before us the reality that one of the outstanding activities of a pilgrim is that he sings. And therefore, one of the outstanding marks of the child of God as he pilgrimages through this world toward his heavenly home is that he is a singing pilgrim. And the songs that he sings are the statutes of his God and Father. So let's explore what that means and apply it to us and see the rich comfort that comes out in this part of the text. The psalmist says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." First, we have to understand what the psalmist means by statutes. That Hebrew word statute refers specifically to that which God prescribes, and therefore by extension to any decree of God or word that comes out of the mouth of God. Those are God's statutes. And it emphasizes that God's word is firm and sure and trustworthy. Something that is called a statute. It's firm and solid, unmovable, like a giant stone statue that is fixed and cannot be moved. God's statutes are the words of his mouth that are firm, sure, and trustworthy. This refers to several things then. It refers, first of all, to God's law, the law, his holy law, which reveals his will, which prescribes the way that we are to live. That's on the foreground in the text. But the text isn't only focusing on God's law, but also the entire word of God. Psalm 119 is a lengthy psalm that extols the word of God, not just the law. And the psalm uses many different words to refer to the word of God. Law, statutes, commandments, precepts, testimonies. All of these words refer to the entire word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the living God. And so for us as New Testament Christians, this psalm is referring to all of God-breathed scripture. All scripture that is given by inspiration of God, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The complete Bible is the statutes that the text speaks of. Now, these statutes, the psalmist says, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. They've been my songs. And that highlights especially three things. First, it means that the psalmist literally sang the word of God. Literally sang the word of God. In the Old Testament, it was not uncommon for portions of God's word to be put to music and sung, even the law, even the Ten Commandments. And that makes sense. In the Old Testament, God's people didn't have their own copies of the Bible. And so the best way to learn it was to memorize it. And the best way to memorize, or one of the best ways, is to sing. The psalmist sang the word of God into his heart. As Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." And one of the ways he hid the word of God in his heart, in the treasure house of his heart, was he sang it. He sang the word. By the way, there's biblical evidence for the importance of psalm singing in the church. We're not merely called to sing the songs that men might write about the word. But the command of Scripture is specifically this: sing the word. That's why we sing the psalms in our worship services. That fits with what the Bible calls us to do. Sing the word. The psalmist sang scripture. Secondly, the expression points out that the content of the pilgrim's singing is the content of the word of God. The psalmist sang the praises of God's word because he understood the content of that word, and nothing was more fitting to be sung about, to be exclaimed in joy, than the word, the statutes of God. He literally sang the word because the word was most fitting to be sung. And that gets at the third thing. God's statutes caused him to sing, caused him to sing for joy. That's part of the idea of the text. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The idea is, when I look at your word, when I meditate upon your precepts, it moves me to joy. It causes me to erupt into song. It encourages, it comforts, it strengthens me. Thy word causes me to sing in the house of my pilgrimage. So, we now see the important connection between the ideas in the text. House of pilgrimage, that's our earthly life. That's the character of earthly life. We're pilgrims, travelers going through a foreign land on our way home to where we belong. But now, in the house of our pilgrimage, along the way, we sing. We sing. And what do we sing? We sing the word of God, the praises of the word of God. And it is the word of God that when we go to it, when we meditate upon it, when we hide it in our hearts, it's that word that lifts our souls, that strengthens our hands and our feet, and equips us and moves us along that pilgrim path through the house of pilgrimage homeward. Thy statutes have been the songs of my pilgrimage. The songs that are a continual source of strength, joy, and comfort. Especially in all of the hardships, the dangers, and the troubles that we meet with in the house of pilgrimage. Because the house of pilgrimage is a house of trouble. And so we see the important place that the word of God had for the psalmist in his pilgrimage, in his life. It was to the word that he looked for comfort. It was to the word that he looked for guidance. It was upon the God revealed in the word that he cast himself in his time of need. It was the word that strengthened him and moved him on his journey homeward. That's the place of the word of God in the pilgrim's life. It's not only the pilgrim's manual that guides us to heavenly glory, but it is our source of joy all along the way. We can see this clearly in the context of our text. If we just browse through Psalm 119, we see how God's statutes were the songs of the psalmist in the house of his pilgrimage. If you flip back to verse 23 a moment, the psalmist says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me." He speaks about one of the afflictions he experienced in the course of his pilgrimage. Men in high places spoke against him, falsely accused him, "But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." And there was his help. There was his comfort in God's statutes. Verse 28. "My soul melteth for heaviness." Perhaps the burden of an affliction. Perhaps that crushing burden of the guilt of sin, which is the greatest burden we pilgrims carry through our earthly pilgrimage, the sense of our sin. strengthen thou me according to thy word which lifts that burden, thy word which speaks of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. God's word is his help and his strength. Verse 50, right before our text. This is my comfort in my affliction. In all of my afflictions. For thy word hath quickened me. We see very clearly how God's statutes were the songs of the psalmist in his pilgrimage. But now let us apply that to us. The beginning of year 2022, another year of pilgrimage. Let God's statutes, his word, his promises, which are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, let them be the songs of our pilgrimage, the songs that fill our hearts, that erupt from our mouths, the songs that we sing as we go about our daily work, the songs that we sing in the home, the songs that we sing at the dinner table with our family, the songs that we sing when we gather in this house of prayer, songs of our pilgrimage, the content of which is God, his great work, and his great decrees, and his beautiful holy commandments, and all that he sets forth in his word. Let these be our songs. They have been, as they were for the psalmist. They have been. They were in 2021. So as verse 49 says, or rather verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old. We remember God's dealings with us in the past, and that encourages us going into the future. We look upon how his word was a power in our lives, strengthening and comforting us in the past. And we know that the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever will comfort us and strengthen us with his word for the days ahead. Let these songs be our songs in the year 2020, 2022. So a couple of specific applications. How does the word of God comfort, strengthen us in our pilgrimage? First and most importantly, the gospel. That's the beating heart of the word of God, and that's the heart of the pilgrim's song. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In that gospel, God speaks to us, pilgrims, speaks to us in our weariness, speaks to us when we're groaning under the burden of sin, speaks to us in the perplexities of this earthly life, speaks to us in our sorrows, speaks to us in everything. And that gospel says, I've fixed the destination of your pilgrimage. My house, my table, through Jesus Christ, my Son, who I did give to be the ransom, to pay for your sins and redeem you unto me. He set the destination, and he's given us all of his precious promises to get us to the destination, that he will be with us every step of the pilgrim path. And when we must pass through the waters of 2022, there will be waters, some deep, he will be with us. Those waters will not overflow us. And that when we must walk through the fires of 2022, he will be with us, and those fires will not kindle upon us. He will not leave us or forsake us. And when we stumble in the house of our pilgrimage in the year 2022, and we're going to stumble, weak sinners that we are, we know that, and we're going to fall, and we might even fall to the side of the road, he is with us, and he will pick us up and set our feet back upon the path. That's
what the gospel tells us. That's the content of our song, and that's what we must be singing, hiding in our hearts, meditating upon as we go forward in the pilgrimage in the year 2022. Going deeper, getting to the very heart of the gospel, the songs of the pilgrim, the Word of God, sets before us Jesus Christ in all His saving work, what He has done for us. Here is the foundation of our hope, foundation of all of our comfort, source of our strength, Jesus and what He has done. Jesus, God the Son, who left heaven's halls, its glory, Jesus entered into the house of our pilgrimage. And He took upon Himself the earthly house of this tabernacle that is our human nature, our weakened human nature. He took upon Himself everything that belongs to being human. He took it all except our sin, that He might be perfect. And then He took the burden of the guilt of our sin upon Himself. And what a path He walked in the house of our pilgrimage. All of the years of His life, bearing that burden of our guilt, suffering reproach and scorn, being rejected of men, the suffering servant of Jehovah, bearing the burden of our guilt, all the way to Calvary, where He died, paid for our sins, fulfilled all righteousness, so that the destination of our life would not be eternal hell, but eternal glory. And even now, that Lord Jesus, who entered into the house of our pilgrimage, though He's ascended on high into heaven, back to heaven's halls, and is seated at God's right hand, yet He is working all things for our homecoming. He is concerned and focuses all of His attention on our pilgrimage, on getting us home. He's preparing our place in the Father's house of many mansions. He has charted our path. He has poured out His Spirit into our hearts to guide us and to lead us by His Word. That gospel imparts true joy and comfort that rises above all of the difficulties and the hardships of the pilgrim's path. The year ahead, let's hide that gospel in our hearts. Don't just keep it there, hidden. Let it erupt in song, time and time again. Let this be the song of our pilgrimage in 2022. God's Word will comfort us and quicken us for the journey home. And so the text brings us to the hope that stirs us up and the hope that spurs us on. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. As we think upon the word, as we think upon the gospel, as we sing the songs of our pilgrimage, God uses that word to stir up hope in our hearts. And that hope then spurs us on to be pilgrims. That hope focuses in the destination of our pilgrimage. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal and in the heavens. The songs of our pilgrimage focus our eyes on that destination. That's where we're going, and we're going to get there. It cannot fail. Our good shepherd guides us on the pilgrim way. He's with us. With his rod and his staff, he comforts us, restores us, keeps us on that straight and narrow way until he brings us home. And it's certain. It's certain. Not because of our own strength, which is meager. If we were left to rely on ourselves, we wouldn't get home. But because it depends upon the grace, the power of our God and Savior, our good shepherd, who is the Alpha and the Omega. That's our confidence. That's our hope. And so whatever happens in year 2022, it's going to serve our getting home. To live is Christ. To die is gain. What can separate us from his love? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So let us go forth. Let's go forth this year with that true and abiding hope. Look homeward, beloved. Sing the songs of the gospel in the house of our pilgrimage, and let our hearts be cheered in those statutes of our God. Amen. Our faithful God and Heavenly Father, as thou hast called us to be pilgrims and strangers in this world, we pray for thy strengthening grace and thy guidance. Grant that thy word may be a powerful encouragement to us. Cause us to sing that word, to meditate upon it, to meditate upon the mysteries of the gospel, so that whatever besets us in our earthly way, we might trust and know that thou art our Father who guides us through all, through dangers all, through troubles all, until thou dost bring us to the home thou hast prepared. We thank thee for this new year, and we commit ourselves into thy hands in faith. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.